to hear this. Alrighty. This morning, our Bible verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And we'll examine that more as we have our Bible study this morning. This morning's psalm reading comes from Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. Not to us, O Lord, but to you goes all the glory, for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Why let the nations say, where is their God? For our God is in the heavens, and he does as he wishes. Their idols are merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They cannot talk, though they have mouths, or see, though they have eyes. They cannot hear with their ears, or smell with their noses, or feel with their hands, or walk with their feet, or utter sounds with their throats. And those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8, in the New Living Translation. This morning's Bible lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the one I teach from frequently because it's one of my favorites, and it's a powerful message. Before we get into chapter 13, I just want to touch on, start a little bit in chapter 12, starting with verse 27, when Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. And Paul writes, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. So Paul first off in chapter 12 here lists the gifts, some of the gifts that are bestowed upon us as Christians, not for ourselves, but so that we can build up the church. And it reminds us that each of us has a unique gift. That we're not all called to do the work of a prophet or of a teacher or to work miracles or the gift of healing or any of these that he lists. And notice also that he mentions last of all, speaking in tongues or speaking in unknown languages. Some churches and some denominations make that the priority gift, but it's listed here as the very least of them. And then starting in chapter 13, remember at the end of chapter 12, Paul says, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And in chapter 13, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So all these gifts that he mentioned in verse 12 and more, in chapter 12 and more, are nothing without accompaniment of love. And love is one gift that is available to everyone, no matter what your other gift is, and this is the gist of what he's saying here, no matter what other gifts you have, without love, they're nothing. And then he says, well, you might say, well, what is love? And he goes on to define love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So that's how we define love. Not how the world defines love. This is how God's Word defines love. Now, of course, all of us, being imperfect creatures that we are, fall short of God's perfect standard. Sometimes we're not patient and kind like we should be. Sometimes we're irritable. We all fall short of God's perfect standard. But that's what sin is falling short of that standard. I know when I first started in the ministry, especially pastoring a church, I had a problem with irritability. Not because I didn't love the people that were here and the work that they were doing and everything that was going on here. No, because my problem was that I also loved the things I was doing. I loved the building. I loved the plans I had made. I wanted each thing to go a certain way. And I wanted it to be perfect. And I forgot that the only perfect thing is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all my other plans and everything else are never going to be perfect. They would never come off exactly as I wanted them to. They would be perfect in God's way, not in my way. And so sometimes I'd get irritated and I would fail to show love as I should as a pastor, especially as a pastor. And I'd like to think that I've learned something from my experiences and that I'm much more accepting of changes and modifications and easier going and willingness to accept that things happen as according to God's plans, not according to my plans. He goes on in verse 8, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. Now, some people interpret this saying that the gift of prophecy and the gift of healing is no longer active. They say the perfect understanding has come through having the Holy Bible here. Well, God's Word is perfect. But it's not complete. His own Word tells us it's not complete. Paul himself even mentions it earlier when he says, if I possess all God's secret plans. So we know God keeps some things from us. Perfect understanding only comes once we leave this earth and we are in God's presence. And then we will have complete understanding. Then the things we don't know now, we will know. The things we don't understand now, we will understand. And so naturally there will be no need for prophecy and these other gifts, because those gifts are for our church here in this world, to build up our church here and to help us help other Christians. He goes on to say, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Again, speaking about when we come into God's presence. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now notice he doesn't say prophecy will last forever. None of these other things will last forever. The gifts of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of leadership, of tongues, any of that. None of that will last forever. What will last forever? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is love. Love itself is an attribute of God. And to say that love will last forever is simply acknowledging God himself is eternal. Now I want to go back to verse 11 for a moment. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now he's not talking about putting away toys or things like that. He's not even talking about toys. What's he talking about? I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. So what did he put away when he became an adult? Childish speech, childish thought, childish reasoning. And what is childish speech, thought, and reasoning? Well, remember what the main message of this is about. It's about love. Well, how does a child? A child's first love is only for himself and his own needs and for his own wants. You ever notice two children play with a toy? There can be two toys there. They both want to play with the same one. You know, it's like watching our puppies at home. We have some puppies at home. We have puppy toys for them. Doesn't matter how many toys are around, they both got to play with the one toy. If one has one toy, the other one's going to want to play with that one. I remember on Super Bowl Sunday, Bridget and I didn't want to watch the Super Bowl, but they had something on one of the animal networks or animal channels or something called the Puppy Bowl, and they just had this this pen made up look like a football field with a painted audience there and everything, and a bunch of puppies in there with a bunch of toys. And they just let them play. And what they do, they play with the toys and chase each other. And whichever toy one of them had, all the others wanted and everything. And that's how children are too. And this is what he's getting back to, the lesson of love. When we love as God wants us to love, as he defines it here, patient and kind, not jealous or boastful or proud or rude, not demanding our own way, then when we love as God wants us to love, then that love looks outward. It's no longer about what we want. It's no longer about, you know, wanting the toy someone else has, wanting what someone else has. It's about wanting them to have what we have, looking outward from ourselves toward them, because that's what God's love is. Our world has confused lust with love, and it's completely opposite. Lust looks inward to our own desires and what we want. God's love looks outward to see how we can help others without any expectation of love, or without any expectation of anything in return. These three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus of God's message. Love is the action of God's message, putting God's message into action. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reading of your word and for your message to us today. We thank you for everyone who's here. We thank you for Pamela's testimony this morning and how it's touched our hearts. We thank you for this opportunity to hear more about your wonderful, miraculous work in her life, and for this opportunity to study your word and its guidance in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.